Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by the Chronicle's music critic Joshua Cosman and technical editor Kira Pace. Gotta be your host and moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. We hope you will give us a call with a question and even an answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, there really is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and I just discovered that the questions, we will not be giving you questions on architectural history. So, at least Josh won't. And again, those two numbers are 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER1, and that is the numeral 1 at gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, so feel free to email any old time. They all get read. Just to remind you, you can listen to us online right now, streaming at kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast later on of this show, it should be also available at kalw.org and later on iTunes and a bunch of other places. Yes, Josh, you were going to say?
Oh, no, I was just... Okay. I still wonder about who got mindsovermatter at gmail.com. Like,
I don't know.
I think you should track that guy down, and you know.
Is there any way you can find that out?
I don't know.
No, but you can sign him up for all sorts of things.
You could email him and see what he says. I mean, it's not like mind over
matter. Now I know who's getting the subscription to Man Boy Love magazine.
Ooh.
That's what we used to do in college.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The world has moved on since then.
Oh, my.
So, let's see. As I said, our lines are open, so give us a call as soon as you can. And in the meantime, I think we will start with Kira Pace.
How about a round of introductions and a round of questions?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
You ever done this show before, Dana?
Yeah, no, a few times.
Yeah, I want my introduction immediately after he brings up NAMBLA. That would be fantastic if you could arrange that.
All right. Kira Pace has been on a synth pop kick this week. Isn't that every week, really? Enjoying the bleeps and bloobs of computers in love.
Bleeps and bloops, yeah. Bloops. They were in love on the way over, but I think they're going to be in heartbreak on the way home. Joshua Cosman will be downstairs with the shop vac. You can call, but he probably won't hear you.
Shop vac.
For heaven's sake, it's really loud with the shop vac on. And now, a man who needs no introduction, if only because he couldn't think of anything, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much. And now hold your applause, please. We will begin with Kira Pace.
Okay. Just a quick question here. What diacritic mark, whose name translates to around sound, is visually identical to diuresis, but functionally different? Not a word, sir.
That would be an umlaut.
That's an umlaut.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just read the whole thing once more.
The diacritic mark whose name translates to around sound, so is German for around and laut for sound, is visually identical to diuresis, but functionally different. So,
yeah.
And the answer is indeed umlaut.
Interesting. Okay, good. All right, give us something.
So what do they call surround sound in Germany then? Yeah. If umlaut is already taken.
Dolby.
Oh, okay.
Das, nice.
Das Dolby.
Yeah. All right. Give us another question.
All right. What about this? Identify the following three people. Three different people. The first, the poet laureate of television. The second, the unknown comic. And third, the original regular Center Square. So the poet laureate of television, the unknown comic, and the original regular Center Square.
I only got one. The original Center Square has to be Paul Lynde.
It is Paul Lynde. Right.
If I recall, the unknown comic was Murray Langston.
It is Murray Langston. Nice.
Unknown to me. Who's he?
Oh, he was the unknown comic. He was the guy that came out with a paper bag on his head and did jokes. Does that ring a bell at all?
No. What show?
The Gong Show.
Not my hero.
You were in the garage with a shop bag when that was going on. And what was the last part?
The first one was the poet laureate of television.
Is this sort of doggerel sort of poetry, or I mean, is this serious poetry, or like?
I think he's asking, is it Gerard Manley Hopkins,
Charles Kuralt kind of poetry, or Charlie Weaver kind of poetry?
It's on TV. Let's assume it's doggerel.
I think probably a little closer to Charlie Weaver.
Okay.
I'm not going to call it not serious.
Or Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell is the poet laureate.
See, is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
I believe Frank Sinatra gave him that
that's
title.
Great.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. That's why they call it. What's that, Fred Allen? They call TV a medium because it's so rarely well done. all right. And Josh, you go ahead.
All right. So I'm going to just shamelessly steal one from you, Dana. You did this a few weeks ago when I was last on with operas, and I decided to just...
Uh-oh, I have an opera question.
No, I'm going to... I'm not going to redo the question. I just repurposed it for plays.
Okay.
So in 2013, Entertainment Weekly listed their critics' choices of the 50 best plays of the last 100 years, past 100 years. There are six of those 50 plays that have a profession in the title. In two cases, I would say that's a little bit stretchy, but they are descriptions of something you would do for a living, and the other four are straight-ahead professions.
Well, the obvious, Death of a Salesman.
Death of a Salesman, number one on that list. Yeah. The best play of the last 100 years, if you listen to the folks at Entertainment Weekly. Yes, good. What else?
Yes, who are very discerning about these things.
Hey, now.
And it's plays, which means
it's
not
plays,
musicals.
Not musicals, okay. Right. They had a different list for musicals, which I didn't consult.
So give the whole thing one.
So in 20th, this is the critics for Entertainment Weekly listing their choice of the 50 best plays of the past 100 years. Six of them include a profession in the title. Dana was right out of the gate with Death of a Salesman. There are five more. I would say three of them are really, you would say that is a description of a – that is a profession. The other two are maybe – descriptive of something that you might do for a living, although not quite a profession.
There was a famous play in the 20s. I think it won the Pulitzer Prize, called The Barker.
That may be true. I don't deny it, but it's not on the list.
That's not on the list.
I never heard of that. Who wrote it?
I want to say Elmer Rice, but I could be wrong about that. Anyway.
Sounds plausible, but no.
All right. So let's see. So is the profession the name of the play, or is it just a piece of the
It name? Is a, just a piece of... yeah, there's none of them like The Entertainer would be if that were on the list. There's nothing that's just that, you know, the blank. There's always more verbiage.
Are any of these names in the last 20 years or so?
Yeah, one of them is actually in the last 20 years.
They're all straight plays.
No, they're all straight plays.
Okay.
Let's say one, two of the five remaining. Three are in English, and two are not.
How about the Nance?
No.
All right. Okay. I'll think about that. And we have some lines open if you'd like to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey.
So I'm going to give you what the meaning of a name and tell me what the name is. It's English, you know, American name. Rockman.
What was that once more?
Rockman.
Rockman?
Rock, rocks.
Oh, Rockman.
Man of rocks.
This is a given name or a...
Yeah, a very common name.
Hmm.
Another word is derived from the word rock. Rock, you know.
Right. But not so the rock. word rock
it
itself.
It sounds very different. It's, well, yeah, from Greek.
It means, right.
Oh, from Greek.
Like Peter?
Yeah. Peter it is.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Yo, you can say whether these are first names or last names.
Very good. How about Earthman?
Earthman.
Terra.
It sounds very different. But it comes from Earth.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Terrence.
Huh?
Terrence?
Not John. No, John actually different. No. What is the name of Earth in Greek?
Yeah. Terra or...
No, that's
Terra.
That's Latin.
Sorry.
We'll talk about signs of Earth.
What you're right. George. So it's George.
George it is. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful to really know the origin of name. How about honeybee?
That's Deborah.
Deborah. Very good.
Deborah.
How about light?
Light?
Yeah.
Lucy?
Name of a woman that comes from light.
Lucy?
Not a bit, no. Well, Lucy is a Latin word, but more than that.
Helen?
It actually comes from Arabic.
Oh.
It's a very common in Jewish people name. Light.
Rachel?
No. Well, Rachel, it means traveler, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Nora. Nora.
Okay.
Nora means light. That's all it means. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Okay. The last one is Magda and Gloria. What does it mean?
Magda?
That's
Lord.
Great.
No, Magda with a D.
With a D.
Yeah,
Magda.
It's from Magdalene. From the
like Magda. Well,
Mary Magdalene.
And Gloria. And Victoria.
Gloria and just what you say. Gloria and victory and...
And yeah, Gloria and Victoria.
Yeah.
They all mean the same thing. They all the same exact meaning. They originate from Arabic or Greek or eventually to ancient Egypt. All they mean glory or Victoria. Mm-hmm. But in fact, Magdalena or Magda or Armageddon, all of it originated from the same little town in Palestine that was called Magdala.
Mm.
Magdala. So when you hear Armageddon, and that whole history comes from when that Moses III, Pharaoh, invaded that area, he caused a lot of havoc, and this was the word Armageddon come from.
Mm.
It was about 3,500 years ago. Thank you, guys. Always great show.
Thank you.
You kind of silly questions today, but I thought of it. It's just fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
At least nothing about the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So. You brought up Armageddon. There's that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. I was looking at the history of cities in world history, and I came across this. What is the first city in the world to have a million person population at one time and now be abandoned?
Abandoned?
Largely.
Yeah, wow.
Basically.
Huh.
What was the first city in the world to at one time have a million-person population and now be largely abandoned?
Is it in South America?
It is not.
Okay.
What's there now? I mean, is there at least a
Walmart.
No, seriously. Is there like an archaeological...
Of a kind. I mean, there's evidence that there was a city there, if that's what you're asking.
Is it something like Chichen Itza or something?
It is not.
Right. Well, I mean, they moved, like, Chinese capitals all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it could be, like, Chang'an or something like that.
Yeah, but, it seems unlikely that there would be a completely abandoned site in China. I like Central America, Mesoamerica somewhere.
Right. Well, we've ruled out South America.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, you're right. It still could be Mexico, Central America.
I think the hard fact we're coming up against is that we don't know.
No, you don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So once more.
It's a good question.
In the world history, thank you. What is the first city in the world to have at one time a population of over a million people and now be largely abandoned?
Not that this will help, but like – can you point to a thing that kind of screwed it up for them, or was it just a kind of a slow decline and fall?
I would, yeah.
I mean,
it was a fast
like...
decline and fall. Let's put it that way. But it not a specific natural disaster. It's It's not that.
Is it Knossos?
It is not.
Right. What about Tikal?
It is not.
Okay.
So once more, what is the first city in the world to at one time have a population of over 1 million people and now be largely abandoned? Hmm. Second question. According to Guinness and IMDb, this five-word sentence or phrase is the most commonly used piece of dialogue in film history. You know this?
I do.
All right. Well, Cole,
I'll keep it to myself.
You keep it to yourself. So, once more, according to Guinness and IMDb, this five-word sentence or phrase is the most commonly used piece of dialogue in film history.
Once you start noticing it, you hear it come up in literally every, in every movie ever see.
It's like how you've never heard the phrase jam you up until you start noticing that it's every episode of Law & Order. And right now my husband is at home laughing because he knows it's true.
Well, he knows every episode of Law & Order.
He does. Oh, my gosh. That and Snapped. Go ahead, make my day.
No.
Okay.
So once more, according to Guinness and IMDb, this five-word sentence or phrase is the most commonly used piece of dialogue in film history. How would you describe it? I mean, would you say how would you?
I'm interested that it's actually documented because I heard this as a kind of a piece of urban folklore. No, it's one of these things
I've seen it documented.
Once somebody pointed it out to me. This is a line that occurs in literally every movie.
Everywhere.
Every movie you'll ever see. My wife and I just, as soon as it comes on the movie, we poke each other.
It's an action. It's a suggestion for an action.
You can see why it's always used because it's an essential scriptwriter's crutch.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could do without it, but...
And
anyway,
the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. You want to take another guess, Kira? It's a five-word.
Right. I think I need to think about it.
All right.
Sorry.
That's fine. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead,
please. Oh, yes. I just wanted to give one answer. My name is Georgette from Sonoma, and the Iceman Cometh, would that be one of
them? Oh,
that
very
is correct.
Good.
Well done.
I wish I had thought of that.
Give Georgette a bell.
You got a bell.
That's it from me. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The Iceman Cometh.
Do you know, it never occurred to me that the Iceman Cometh was about some guy
delivering the ice.
Yeah.
You thought it was like...
I just learned that a couple seconds ago.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Matthew and Susan in Oakland.
Hi, Matthew. Hi, Susan.
Hi. We'll take a wild guess at the city. Is it Timbuktu?
It is not Timbuktu. Ooh. There is still a Timbuktu. And it's
they've lost it for a while, I think.
Yeah, maybe you're right about that.
Anyway, and on the plays, we'll guess the postman always rings twice.
Ooh, good guess, but not right.
I don't know if that was ever a play.
It was a novel.
A movie.
It was a novel and a movie and an opera.
Right.
It was a play. It's a play.
Is it?
Is it
okay.
Really?
Okay. I didn't know that.
Anyway.
But it was...
I'll give you a question.
All right.
Good.
Okay. Where and when were the first solar panels installed?
Ooh.
Oh, is this New York?
What decade? Yes, New York. What decade?
Early. Like, I almost want to say in the 1800s.
Good enough. 1884.
Yay!
Wow.
Where were they installed in New York?
Pretty much a huge rooftop, I believe. A guy named Charles Fritz. It's pretty interesting reading.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, they were super expensive. But,
that would be good. Yeah.
We love the show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And Kira, your turn.
All right. So I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a list question. So here's my lead-in question. What is the most widely read book in modern African literature?
Are you looking for the name of a novel? Is this a fiction?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Things Fall Apart,
isn't
that's
it? That's what I was thinking.
By?
Chinua Achebe.
That is correct. Yeah. Who also won the Man Booker International Prize in 2007?
I would have said it if you hadn't.
I know you would have.
So he also wrote books for kids, including How the Leopard Got His Claws, The Drum, The Flute, and Sheikah and the River. So with that in mind, There you go.
Oh, here comes the hard part.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am going to give you a list of children's books written by top drawer authors who are better known for grown-up literature. You give me the authors. And to make it a little easier on you, I'll also give you an additional hint for each author.
This is great.
So the first one, we've got Popo and Fifina and the First Book of Rhythms. This person was posthumously inducted into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame in 2012. That's the first. The second one, My Painted House, My Friendly Chicken and Me, and Kofi and His Magic. This person won the Grammy 3 times for spoken word albums. The third one, Up in a Tree. This person won the Man Booker Prize in the year 2000. Number four, Haroon and the Sea of Stories. This person won the Best of Booker Prize. The fifth one is Crows of Pear Blossom. This person was nominated for a Nobel Prize in Literature 7 times, never won. The sixth one is Little Man, Little Man, and 2 of this person's works were made into Oscar-nominated films. 7 is The Little Steamroller, and this person won an Academy Award nomination for Best Screenplay in the 1940s. And finally, Theodore Boone, Kid Lawyer. This person is a 2-time winner of the Harper Lee Prize for Legal Fiction. So do you know any of those kids' books?
I know one.
Oh, I know. Probably
you probably the same one. And
go ahead.
Go ahead. You can take it.
No, go ahead. You're first.
Haroon and the Sea of Stories is by Salman Rushdie.
That is correct. Salman Rushdie won a Booker Prize in 1981 for Midnight's Children, and then he was the Best of Booker winner for the 40th anniversary of the Booker Prize.
Little Man is very familiar. Is that by a black author?
It is.
Yeah.
Two of his works were made into Oscar-nominated films. One of those Oscar-nominated films was this past Oscars.
So James Baldwin, then.
Yeah, that is correct.
Good job.
Yep.
No, you got it. I was just putting it in.
That's right.
Theodore Boone, Kid Lawyer. Is that John Grisham?
Yes.
Good job.
Yes, the Harper Lee Prize for Legal Fiction. Yeah. He won in 2011 for The Confession and 2014 for Sycamore Row.
The Little Steamroller.
Yes. This one, I feel that you can definitely get, Dana. This person was nominated for Best Screenplay for a 1948 film.
But they're known as being a novelist.
Yes.
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
Is Faulkner?
No.
Did they ever win the Pulitzer Prize or the Nobel Prize?
Nope.
I'm assuming you're giving this person like sort of this is the best they ever did. It was like one.
As far as like prizes go.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Best screenplay
for the 1949 Oscars for a 1948 film.
Ooh.
But a big name.
But a big name as a novelist.
As a novelist, yes.
Not Faulkner. Oh. I can't think.
Right time frame, wrong country.
Oh, wrong country?
Mm.
English?
Mm.
Not Orwell, no. Not Isherwood.
Nope.
Aldous Huxley.
No.
Well.
All right. I'll bet it. I have to
read them over again.
Sure. The first one, so we have 5 left. The first one is Popo and Fifina and the First Book of Rhythms. This person was posthumously inducted into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame in 2012.
Is it whichever one of the Sinclairs is the Chicago guy?
It's,
Upton Sinclair.
It's neither Sinclair.
Okay.
The second person, the novels are, the kids' books rather, are My Painted House, My Friendly Chicken and Me, and Kofi and His Magic. This person won the Grammy 3 times for spoken word albums.
Is this person Hispanic?
No.
African American?
Yes.
It's three times for spoken word albums. Spoken word albums.
This person also has a lot of other famous stuff that I could have brought up, but
Bobby McFerrin?
No. And this person is primarily in literature.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, all right.
So, and then, oh, the third one is Up in a Tree. This person won the Man Booker Prize in 2000. The fourth one that we have left is The Crows of Pear Blossom, can't say that, nominated for a Nobel Prize in Literature 7 times, didn't win. Finally, The Little Steamroller. This person won an Academy, or I'm sorry, was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay in the year 1949 for a 1948 film.
Somebody knows these.
Yeah, somebody does. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, the lovely and talented Kira Pace, and technical editor, and of course, Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle, the classical music critic. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Poppy from San Francisco.
Hi, Poppy.
Hi. I am calling with the answer to the question about the city with the population that no longer exists today.
Right. Well, yeah, basically. It does. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, anyway, Ephesus.
It is not.
Ooh,
that's a good guess,
but Ephesus is one, too. We were just studying that one.
Well, I guess the key here is it did not have over 1 million people, and the
okay.
city did.
I gotcha.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Is it Nineveh?
It is not Nineveh.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
This is Larry from the Bayview.
Hi, Larry.
Regarding professions,
mm-hmm.
the matchmaker.
Oh,
ooh, that's not
that
bad.
Would be good.
Thornton
yeah.
Wilder.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm also going to give you a couple of others that may...
Okay.
Should we say stretch the line here?
Uh-huh.
The Rainmaker.
Good guess.
And also the Miracle Worker.
Oh.
Ooh.
These are all very good. These are, I just sort of picked this Entertainment Weekly list because it seemed like a good list. So these should be on the list, but they weren't. But they're all very and very professional-y. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. Thank you. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And Josh, it is your turn.
Okay, this is a quick one. Maybe this is something everybody knows, but it surprised me. Do you know who holds the record for the most Emmys for playing the same character in the same series?
The same series, just the same character.
Not just the same character. The same character in the same series.
Is it... Let's see. Julia Louis-Dreyfus had a few for new... No, for that's, Veep, I think she had the most for it, but maybe not. No, there's Helen Hunt, who had a few for Mad About You.
Candace Bergen.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
For Murphy Brown. She wanted it like 4 years in a row or something.
But that's not the answer.
Oh,
can you tell us how many?
Six.
And did you say, you said actress, right? Or you didn't?
I didn't.
You, didn't
you just jumped right there.
I did. It is an actress, though.
Sure.
I was going to say John LaRoquette for Night Court. He won.
Did he win that many? Really?
He won a lot. Yeah, he started to take himself out of contention, didn't he?
Wow, really? I didn't know that.
Wasn't he the one who took himself? Somebody took himself out of contention.
I don't know.
Because he kept winning.
And you didn't say what kind of show it was.
No.
It a comedy or a drama?
No, I didn't.
But it is a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know I'm there.
You're there. Just say it.
No, I. That's the thing. I'm
just say
so
it.
Close. I want to. I
just
want
say
to.
Say it.
So
nothing bad will happen if you're wrong.
No, that's the thing. I just know that I keep getting the people around the person who has the most. But it's not Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Because why?
Oh, is it Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
For what?
For Veep?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. See how easy that was?
There you go. Man.
Believe in yourself,
yeah.
Kira. You had this one.
I did.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm the worst.
You are the worst.
I know.
All right. Should I try another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how gettable this is, but this was interesting to me as the other week as I was researching some other question about Oscar nominations and whatnot. There was a year, and there was one year in which all five Best Actor nominations went to actors for playing military men. All in the same in one year, all five Best Actor nominations were for playing military men. It caught my eye because I had just been watching one of the movies the night before. You know, if you can tell me what the year was, that's great. But tell me who the actors were. These are all.
Was one of the films Mutiny on the Bounty?
No.
Was it the year? Was it Patton?
No.
Because that was three military men. They put three actors for that. All five.
All five Best Actor nominations.
Can you give us a general idea of the time frame on this? Like, you know,
no,
is it
I mean,
older than such and such a time? How can you? How about that?
It's later than 1935.
Well, I'm less interested. No, I'm just kidding. all five played military men, and we've eliminated Patton. We've eliminated Mutiny on the Bounty.
Right.
Are any of them playing World War II military people?
Yes, at least one. At least one is World War
II. Doesn't necessarily mean the movie was made during World War II.
I think probably the way to think about this is who won a Best Actor for playing a military man, and go from there. You would be better equipped to answer that than I would, though.
You would think so.
I do think so.
All right, we'll work on that. Just read the question once more.
There was one year in which maybe there was another, but what are the odds? You know, this one caught my eye, and I thought I'll make a question out of that. One year in which all five Best Actor nominations were for actors playing military men. What year was it, and who were the actors?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it me?
It is you. Hi.
About the million people city. I just happened to be reading a book from about 10 years ago. How about Tenochtitlan in Mexico, which is now Mexico?
It is not.
Okay. Mm. It's interesting just for everyone to check out a floating city in a mountain lake, which had, I just was reading here, maybe at least 200,000 or 300,000. Destroyed by Cortez as well as smallpox.
Mm. You reading Charles Mann?
No, I'm reading 1491, a book.
Yeah, by Charles Mann.
Okay, you got it. I'm reading it right now.
It's a wonder. Yeah, no, it's a fabulous book. I recognized the factoids. It's
okay. Well, so done. Because I was reading it, I thought maybe this would be an answer, but it's just interesting for the people out there.
Good.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. I'm going to give you at least one opera question here.
Okay. Otherwise, our lives
are
hardly
worth living. Do this together just for you, Josh.
Thank you.
Well, not just for you.
No,
I want other people
cool.
to guess
I'm
on
gonna
it.
I'm going to sit here and think of five-word phrases.
You could guess on it. Everybody can guess on this. I just try to include at least one classical music question when Josh is on. So you remember that was it the last time you were on the when I talked about the list of the 55 most performed operas the world worldwide. So there's a list of the 55 most performed operas worldwide. What are the five newest operas on that list?
Oh, great question.
Or the five most recent operas.
Right.
I guess.
So one for sure is The Rake's Progress by Stravinsky.
It is not.
It
is not on the list.
I understand.
The most performed.
How about our friend Jake Heggie in Dead Man Walking?
No.
All right. Well, I'm failing here. I'm going to try once again. How about Peter Grimes by Britten?
No.
Okay. You're looking at me like I've got still another. I feel like I've failed.
No, you can guess again.
I mean, Turandot.
Turandot.
It's
yes.
You have to go back to 24 to
1926.
What? 26. I mean,
yes.
Huh.
Turandot is one.
Wow. Is that at least? Please tell me that
they're all 20th century.
That's office. That's. Please tell me that's the earliest of the five.
I'm not going to say.
Ah.
So, of the 55 most performed operas worldwide, what are the five most recent? And so far, Josh guessed Turandot, which is 1926.
How about Der Rosenkavalier?
Yes. 1911.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There are your guesses.
I'll stop.
All right. I'm going to give you this other question. So, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I looked at a list of the largest cities throughout history. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you six dates, and I want you to tell me what the largest city was at that time. I'll give you the population of the city. So again, these are largest cities throughout world history, and I'm going to give you six dates, and I want you to tell me what the largest city was. It doesn't necessarily, none of these. I think only one has a million people. But all right, so first is 7,000 BC. Number two is 1,770 BC. Number three is 1,200 BC. Number four is 300 BC. Number five is 1 AD. And number six is 600 AD. So again, these are the largest cities in the world for these dates. Number one, 7,000 BC. Number two, 1,770 BC. Number three, 1,200 BC. Number four, 300 BC. Number five, 1 AD. And number six, 600 AD. So I'll give you the populations so you get a better idea. Number one, 7,000 BC is 2,000 population. Number two, 1770 BC is 60,000 population. Number three, 1,200 BC is 80,000. Number four, 300 BC is 500,000. Number five, 1 AD is 1 million. And number six, 600 AD is 1.1 million. So, anyway, okay, I'll give you each two guesses.
Won't help. I'm clueless on this stuff. You got anything, Kira?
How about Chang'an for 600 AD?
No.
No. I can never remember where in China's history that is. I know it's far. Actually, that might be in BC.
And it'll help you. None of these are cities in China.
None of them?
None of them. So, I mean, it seems silly, but I'm for 1 AD, I'm going to guess Rome.
That's correct.
Nice.
Okay.
That is correct.
So is that... Oh, wait, no. There's obviously
that's
stuff there
the Rome. That is the only... The one answer that is Rome, by the way. So, don't guess it again.
About Istanbul in 600.
It was in Constantinople.
That's true.
Constantinople is correct.
Yeah.
All right.
Why did Constantinople get the works?
It's nobody's business but the Turks.
Oh, God. All right. So
you
we're still looking.
You are all song lyrics today, Josh
so
Cosmos.
We're still looking for the largest cities during these dates. Number one, 7,000 BC. Number two, 1,770 BC. Number three, 1,200 BC. And number four, 300 BC.
This is just a yes or no question. You don't have to go into it. But is there some significance about 1770 BC as a year rather, that you didn't pick like an even?
It's on the chart. It was just a date that was given as the peak of this particular city.
Got it. Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
And
are any of these cities New World cities?
No.
Okay.
They are not.
Oh, so these are all... Oh, shoot. What?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I actually just lost the name of that classic historical city that everyone always learns about in world history.
Timbuktu.
No.
Okay, time to repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. And what do you, Kira? It's up to you.
All right, all I have, let's see, for each of these children's books, each of these children's books were written by top drawer authors who are better known for grown-up literature. So here are the books. You give me the authors. Number one, Popo and Fifina and The First Book of Rhythms. Both of those were written by a person who was posthumously inducted into the Chicago Literary Hall of Fame in 2012. Mm. Number two, My Painted House, My Friendly Chicken and Me and Kofi and His Magic. These books were written by somebody who won the Grammy three times for spoken word albums.
An African-American.
Yes.
We established. Okay.
Yes. Number three, Up in the Tree, written by a person who won the Man Booker Prize in 2000. The next one was The Crows of Pear Blossom, written by somebody who was nominated for a Nobel Prize in Literature 7 times but never won. And finally, The Little Steamroller, which is written by a person who was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Screenplay for a 1948 film.
English
person, yes.
Okay. Josh?
I'm looking for plays on the Entertainment Weekly Critics' Choice of the 50 Best Plays of the Past 100 Years that have professions in their titles. We've got Death of a Salesman and The Iceman Cometh. There are 4 more.
What about The Imaginary Invalid? Does that count as a profession?
Doesn't count as being in the last 100 years.
Oh, 100 years. I did not listen to that.
That's Molière.
Yeah, it is Molière. And that's like 1700.
And the year that in which all 5 Best Actor Oscar nominations went to actors who had been played military men. What year and who were the actors? If it helps, I'll tell you that those 5 nominations were for 4 different movies.
Oh. Okay.
That might actually help.
Is that it for you?
That's all.
Okay. What is the first city in the world to have over 1 million people and now be largely abandoned? The first city in the world to have over 1 million people and now be largely abandoned. And let's see. According to Guinness and IMDb, this 5-word sentence or phrase is the most commonly used piece of dialogue in film history. I thought I'd get a lot more traffic on this. I thought I'd have my nails done while people were guessing.
Don't you want to specify?
That's such a fascinating
final punctuation mark.
It's a question mark.
Well, it's not. It's not a question mark, and it's not necessarily an exclamation point.
Then we're talking about different phrases. Isn't that interesting?
You're talking about an interrobang.
No.
It's a suggestion for an action.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different one.
Okay.
I'm talking about a straight up question.
Oh.
I don't believe that. I know the one you're talking about. I've heard that said. I don't believe that's as common as the one I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Because mine shows up in literally every movie ever made. Mm-hmm. So you do the math.
You would have to see every movie ever made to make that claim. Oh, okay. And let's see. So I give you a list of the largest cities throughout world history, and the dates we have left. So you match. You give me the city for the date. Number 1, 7,000 B.C. Number 2, 1,770 B.C. Number 3, 1,200 B.C. And number 4, 300 B.C. And let's see.
Operas,
correct. Of the 55 most performed operas worldwide, what are the 5 newest or most recent operas written on that list? So far we have Turandot, 1926, and Der Rosenkavalier, 1911. So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, Michael from Berkeley.
Hi, Michael.
So, first, I'm All in the Night Visitors.
Ooh. Oh, what a good guess.
But
for you, not me.
Oh.
For you. That's an opera.
That is not. It
it's
is
a
not.
Recent opera, but it's fallen off in performance.
Yeah.
All right.
The
City with 1 million People, is that Vijayanagar or Hampi in India?
It is not.
That was 1570 or so that one went down.
This is before that.
Oh, wow. Okay. And the films with the military men, is that the year that The Deer Hunter and Coming Home was part of all that?
Good guess, but
yeah, that's
no.
A good guess.
Again, you know, I didn't bother, maybe it happened twice, but that's not the year I'm thinking of.
Don't pester him about details.
No. I mean, I could have gone through all of them, but.
All right. I thought I had a hit in there somewhere. All right. Have a great evening.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Dinah in Berkeley. It's regarding the city that's now largely abandoned, Angkor Wat.
That is correct.
Oh, Angkor Wat.
Well done, Dinah.
Good job.
I've been so patient.
You have.
Yes.
And so your patience paid off, didn't it?
Wow. Angkor Wat.
I
didn't know that was a city.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that it had gotten up to 1 million people.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was unsustainable. They couldn't sustain themselves, and that's why it was abandoned.
Mm. Well, you get the prize. There you go. Thank you very much.
That's
Thank
terrific.
You.
Yes, Angkor is the first city in the world to have over a million people and now be largely abandoned. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Wade from San Francisco. I wanted to guess a play with a profession in it. How about Joe Orton's What the Butler Saw?
Oh,
yes.
Good job.
Well done.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
Well, that's a bell. Thanks. I love the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Thank you, Wade. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Very good, thank you.
I was going to say the first city with a million in Albania. I was going to say something like Detroit.
Yeah.
But seriously, boys and girls, I was thinking the year, but you said it's Best Actor, right?
Yeah. Try it. You saw what happened with Kira when she took a chance.
I was going to say like 1953, whatever the year.
And what were you afraid would happen if you said it and got it wrong?
Well, I would have said, okay. Because I was thinking, From Here to Eternity and Frank Sinatra, but that was supporting.
Well, Frank Sinatra, yes, that's true. Frank Sinatra won for Best Supporting Actor.
Stalag 17.
Who was nominated for Best Actor, Sparky?
Montgomery Clift.
And?
That is the year then, yeah?
You got it, baby.
Oh, baby!
But you gotta name me some actors. Come on,
I just named Montgomery Clift.
Yeah, keep going. Don't stop. You're on a roll.
I'm not on a roll.
You're kind of on a roll.
Maddie?
You're on a roll at...
William Holden?
William Holden for what?
Stalag 17.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got Montgomery Clift for From Here to Eternity. Any other nominations in that film?
I'm going to go out...
Burt Lancaster?
Dana and Maddie get it simultaneously.
Whoa!
Keep going. Yes. Keep going.
So you just need one more, right?
No, you need two more. Two more.
Ernest Borgnine?
No.
Okay.
You've tapped out World War II. Also in that year, we had two ancient Romans.
Korean Wars.
Two ancient Romans that year.
Marlon Brando for Julius Caesar?
Say it loud and proud. Come on.
Right.
Say it.
Marlon Brando.
As Mark Antony and Julius Caesar, and...
Right. Aren't you missing some bells here? I count
keep
four.
Keep going. Now, the last one's hard. It's Richard Burton in The Robe, plays Roman Tribune Marcellus Gallio.
Whoa.
So that's five.
Okay.
Five military guys in 1 year. Well done.
Thank you. Very good, Maddie says. All right, the movie line. I'm surprised no one has gotten to it. Let's get out of here.
That's right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's the famous one. The one I have in mind, which is my contention, is in every movie you'll ever see, and once I mention it to you, you'll notice it. Every movie, at some point, somebody says, "What are you talking about?"
That's a good close one, too.
Good.
You pay attention. You'll see it.
All right.
Yeah. Operas.
Yes.
How about Tosca?
No.
Okay, so it's got to be... like, say, 1911 and thereafter. How about Wozzeck?
Yes, 1923.
Really?
Very good.
Yay. We're going to go out on that one.
All right.
We're done. Good night. Bye.
Good night.
And Kira, here's your turn.
Okay. In 1948, a British troop ship brought 802 West Indians from Jamaica to the UK to resettle and fill shortages in the labor market. Mm. What was the name of the troop ship?
That's so sad. Windrush.
It was. Also the name of the generation of...
The Windrush generation.
That's right.
Of Britain's. Being now deported.
That's right.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's not great. Also, it's the name of the scandal that led to the resignation of Amber Rudd last year. Mm. So, yes, that's correct.
Josh, you have something brief?
I have something. What is the only country named after a woman?
Virgin Islands?
Was this a real woman or a goddess?
It's not a goddess.
Okay.
Let's stipulate that it's a real woman for lack of knowledge to the contrary.
And is this the English name for this country, or is it also...
It's the only name there is.
Okay.
For this country. It's the only country named for a woman.
This has come up at some point.
Sure. It's an obvious one.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
All right.
Think about it. Read the question once.
What is the only country named after a woman?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Melissa in El Cerrito.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. And I was going to guess Harappa or Mohenjo-Daro for the city, but I guess it was Angkor Wat. Okay. Have you heard of those cities?
Vaguely.
No. Right. Or related. Anyway, very interesting history about those. But I have some questions, even if I don't have an answer.
Okay.
And one of my questions is, what is the name of the first town in California that the Joda family from the Grapes of Wrath stopped at?
Ooh, right.
When they came into California.
They went over the border in Southern California, right? And then... it's a real place.
Yes, it is. It's still there.
And... where was it?
And I have three other questions, too.
Move on. Give us another question while I'm thinking.
The other questions. Okay. The place questions. What specific place is the origin of the word academy? Where does the word academy come from? What place? And who taught there?
Oh, it's Plato's school in Athens, isn't it?
Yes. And who shut it down?
Who shut it down?
And when?
Oh.
Huh.
Alexander? No.
Seems unlikely. But not impossible. I don't know.
Who shut it down?
Do you want me to give you the answer?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just to this last one. It's Justinian.
Oh, all right.
529 AD.
That was a good run, though.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I don't know how long he taught there, though. Maybe somebody there knows.
Well, I mean...
not till 529 A.D. what?
I mean, Plato's the 400s B.C., so that's at least 900 years.
Yeah,
that
that's
it,
pretty good. That and, okay, back to your first question. Read that once more for me. Wait a few
okay. Minutes. What is the name of the first town in California that the Joad family came to? So they crossed over the border, you know, from, I guess they're coming from Nevada into Southern California.
It might have been Arizona. Someplace
and I know, I bet you've heard of it, and you may have been there.
It's not weed. No, it's not weed.
But it has two, it has a similar vowel structure, let's say.
To weed.
Mm-hmm. Weed is, by the way the heck up north.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it just like sounded so. It just sounded like something.
With nowhere close.
They don't get a warm welcome, if I recall.
They do not.
I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
Needles.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't do a bit better with your question. No, I didn't.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm John from San Francisco.
Hi, John.
While I've been waiting, you've answered this question, but I kind of dispute the answer. The most commonly used five-word phrase in film, and I believe it should be, try and get some sleep.
Oh.
I bet
that's good, too.
That's a good one, yes. Yeah.
No, but yours was, we've got to get...
Let's get out of here.
Oh, let's get out of here. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. All right, I was thinking the other one has to be, we've got to get out of here, but too many words. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm kind of stumbling around here, but I'm trying for those plays with...
professions?
People who work.
Yeah.
Detective story.
No.
That's good... I like that. That's a good guess.
I don't know that.
Based on
Sidney Kingsley?
Story. And so was The Guardsman.
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Should be on the list, but not.
Doctor's Dilemma?
No.
Is that I'm vague on that. And I know there's something with the president in there, but I don't know it.
It's not on my list.
Okay, so possibly the only one I really have is A Thousand Clowns.
Oh, I mean, if you like that play, which I don't. But,
I do.
Okay.
But anyway, you'll give me credit for
that. I would,
that.
Yeah.
Give you a bell for that.
Give you a
bell. Okay, I'm happy.
Good.
Bye.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Thomas, not in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
hi, how about the singing detective?
Ooh.
I
don't know. It's not on the list, and I don't know if I would count it as a play. I mean, it's a TV. I mean, it was made directly for TV.
Wasn't a TV show first?
Yeah, it was a TV. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Country named after a woman. Is that France?
It is not France.
Okay. The children's books. Is the Chicago posthumous person, is that Richard Wright?
No.
That's a good guess.
Or Carl Sandburg?
Nope.
House, is that... Go ahead.
Oh, I'll just say that the person who wrote those books, there is a medal given by the City College of New York since 1978 that's named for this person for distinguished writing associated with the African diaspora.
Hmm.
If that helps.
I'll guess Richard Wright again, then.
No.
Okay, The Painted House, is that Whoopi Goldberg?
No, but okay, you have the right gender, so.
Okay, Up in the Tree, the Booker Prize, is that Ian McEwan?
No.
No? Crows of Pear Blossom, is that Carson McCullers?
Nope.
Little Steamroller, is that Noel Coward?
No.
No? Raymond Chandler?
No.
All right, I'm missing them all. Performed operas, how about Aida?
Not Aida.
Too old. Carmen?
Not Carmen.
Much
too old.
Death of a Quing Author?
No.
Nixon in China?
No.
No, that's all the operas I know. Okay, Largest City, 7000 BC, is that Ur?
It is not.
1770 BC, is that Aleppo?
It is not.
1200 BC, Jerusalem?
No.
300 BC, Athens?
No.
All right, no bells. I'll ask, the closest planet to the planet Earth?
Most often,
isn't it Venus?
It is not.
Oh.
We're almost out of time. You better tell us.
Okay, well, it's most often the closest planet to every planet, which is Mercury, because of,
it moves in and out of...
Because it's always closest to the sun, and when Venus is on the other side of the sun, for instance, regardless, the same with Mars, Earth is always closest to Mercury. Not always, but most often.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like 46% of the time, the closest planet to Earth is Mercury.
Huh. Interesting.
Oh, gotta run.
All right.
Thanks, bye.
Thank
you. Is the country named after the woman Germany?
No.
As in Germania?
No, it is not.
Is it China or India?
No.
Okay.
Okay, time to clean up. Kira.
Okay, Popo and Fifina and the First Book of Rhythms. Those were written by Langston Hughes.
Mm.
My Painted House, My Friendly Chicken and Me, and Kofi and His Magic were written by 3-time Grammy winner for spoken word album artist Maya Angelou. Up in the Tree was written by Margaret Atwood. The Crows of Pear Blossom was Nobel Prize loser, I guess, 7-time, Aldous Huxley. And finally, the Little Steamroller, the Academy Award nomination was for The Fallen Idol. Does that help you?
Oh, Graham Greene.
Graham Greene. There it is. And I think that's all I have.
Plays with professions in their title, 6 characters in search of an author. The Lieutenant of Inishmore, or The Lieutenant of Inishmore by Martin McDonagh. The Bald Soprano. The only country named after a woman is the Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia.
Oh. And the 55 most performed operas worldwide, the 5 newest, the ones nobody got, Ariadne and Auf Naxos by Strauss, and Gianni Schicchi.
Sorry.
And that's 1918, and the Strauss is 1912. Largest cities throughout history, 7000 BC, that is Jericho. 1770 BC, Babylon. 1200 BC, Thebes. And 300 BC, Carthage.
Mm.
So, you didn't even get to your call. I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to you for tuning in and calling in. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to David Latulip and Steve Wilcott. And thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Gotta be this or that. If it ain't this, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother.